This is World Roots on the BBC with me, Lucy Duran. For years, I was fascinated by the magnificent voices from the small country of Azerbaijan. It has its own strong tradition of classical songs, which have for centuries been a huge influence across the region. So I was very excited when, a few years back, I got a chance to go there for World Roots. As you'll hear, it's a country that's indeed rich in music, and rich too in oil and natural gas. That's the ancient and wonderful sound of the saz, recorded specially for World Roots in the west of Azerbaijan. And this is the not-so-ancient, although wonderful in its own way, sound of a nodding donkey, or pumpjack, on an oil field just outside Azerbaijan's capital, Baku. And some would say that the Azeris are passionate about two things, oil and music. Azerbaijan is a real mix of old and new. In Baku, buildings built over 2,000 years ago stand shoulder to shoulder with the 500 or so high-rises put up since the year 2000. Ex-Soviet petrochemical wastelands on the shores of the Caspian are a stone's throw from the foothills of the Great Caucasus. And all the trappings of one of the world's fastest-growing economies sit next to old and beautiful musical traditions. World Roots was brought to Azerbaijan by the leading Azeri music expert, Sanubar Bagirova, to find and record some of the best musicians from two very different genres, the popular songs of the rural ashiks, or troubadours, and the sophisticated art music of the urban mugam performers. The first session is by Azerbaijan's most internationally successful mugam musician, the brilliant Alim Kasimov. Well, that was a rare treat, something that can only happen by coming here to Baku. That was Alim Kasimov, who is Azerbaijan's most famous musician, in duet with his daughter, Fergana Kasimova. They were both singing and playing the daf, the frame drum, and the instrumentalists were Valeh Alah Verdiev on tar, on the long-neck lute, and Rauf Islamov on kamancha, the spike fiddle. That was a folk song called Leyla, but arranged specially by you, Alim. You are Azerbaijan's musical ambassador. Is it different for you to be here, to play music here when you're at home?
Ən yaxşı, yəni mənim, yəni Actually, I'm more inspired when I'm abroad than when I'm at home. My family is here. I have so many problems here. I'm more relaxed when I'm abroad.
It's fascinating to watch you as well as listen to you, because you hold one hand up to your ear, you hold the duff, the frame drum, and move it around. You're almost dancing as you're performing. It almost looks like you're doing some kind of zikr, the Sufi trance prayer and music. Is there any connection with
o hareketler bilsen bu bir Allah'tan bir.
When I perform, it's like a man pleading for salvation from God, or like a drowning man shouting for help. At the same time, my gestures are comforting me.
You're in some kind of pain.
Yes, I'm comforting myself because of the pain. The gestures convey the music to the audience. The music, when performed correctly, is like spiritual food for the listener.
Alim, here we are in the center of Baku in a jazz club. All around us is a very, very modern city, a bustling city, absolutely 21st century place. How does Mugam fit into life here?
When the lights are switched off, when it's quiet in the city, you have to look somewhere else. Things around us are amazing and modern, but our spiritual life is plain and simple, whatever age we live in.
So do you think that Mugam has a high status here in Azerbaijan? Are there many people who really understand the true art of Mugam?
Mugam is like a spiritual art, so inevitably there are never going to be huge numbers of listeners, but it's a stable number both here and abroad, neither increasing or decreasing. Mugam is like a brilliant diamond. Not everyone can understand and enjoy it.
Sanubar, can you pinpoint what it is exactly that makes Alim Kasimov so special?
First of all, it is a special timbre of his voice, and second, his manner of singing of Mugam as very spiritual music. Mugam is a kind of secular music art, but his style of performing Mugam brings listener to some other world. It turns your soul upside down, and each time when I listen to him, I feel myself another person after his performance.
Really?
Yes.
Alim, I'm looking forward to having my soul turned upside down with one more piece of music from you. What will it be?
I'm going to sing a short piece called Bayati Shiraz. The words are by a medieval Azeri poet called Fisuli. It's a love poem which says, I fell ill because of my love for you, but you didn't even ask how I was. It's about human love, but also love of God.
Senden reva görmem Gözüm canım efendim Sevdiğim devletli sultanım Müzik hərdən vəfasın şərxiyayından mənə bir ox kimə şərh eyləyim kim möhnəti ənduh dərdim çox sənə qal ömrüm və səndən özgə heç kimsəm yox gözüm canım əfəndim sevdiyim dövlətli sultanım Hökm hökmün rəyi rəyindir Gözüm canım əfəndim Sevdiyim dövlətli sultanım
Well, I think this is one of the strangest things I've ever seen. Sanubar has brought me to a place outside Baku, up in the foothills. Basically, it's a rock with a kind of an arc of fire curling around the rock, burning continually, and the heat that comes off it is amazing. This fire, apparently, has been burning here for
many centuries.
For many centuries.
This was a place where the religion of Zoroastrianism was spread all over the territory of Azerbaijan, and Azerbaijan was sort of holy place for all the Zoroastrian believers, and they did pilgrimage to this land, like Muslim people now go to Mecca. They came here, so it was for many centuries thought as holy.
What was the importance of fire to Zoroastrians, or what is the importance of fire?
It gives life, it makes everything clean. What I like about Zoroastrianism, they offer three main principles: good thoughts, kind words, and kind actions. Sometimes we forget that behind the kind words, there might be not very kind thoughts, so that's why it comes deeper into your nature.
It is quite awe-inspiring to look at this fire. For me, I think the significant thing is that we're not standing in front of a building made by man or a temple or a church. We're standing in front of an extraordinary creation of nature. Of Yanardag through a strange lunar landscape, and about a two-hour drive along Azerbaijan's main trunk road that cuts across the country from east to west, is the ancient capital and Silk Road stopover Shamakhi. After a devastating earthquake in 1902, in which the old city was obliterated, the capital was moved to Baku, where it stayed ever since. Shamakhi is a pretty unremarkable place these days, so we headed straight for the memorial house of M.A. Sabir. Mirza Alakbar Sabir lived in the second half of the 19th century and is probably Azerbaijan's most famous poet, philosopher and commentator. One Azeri I spoke to described him as the doctor who gave the correct diagnosis of the Azeri people's problems. Like most poets, though, he was rather poor, and his home in Shamakhi doubled up as a soap factory. The day we arrived in Shamakhi, Sabir's home was transformed from museum and memorial into recording studio, and waiting for us were some of the old capital's best musicians. That's the sound of a wonderful wind instrument called balabang, which is a bit like the duduk, the Armenian duduk, but we're not in Armenia, we're in Azerbaijan, and it's the Azeri version of that wind instrument. And that's been played for us, especially for us, here in the old capital of Azerbaijan, Shamakhi. And that was a woman's wedding dance called Mirzai. And I notice, Sanubar, that as he was playing, that your arms were lifted in the air. Yeah. You looked like you were longing to dance.
Yeah, I cannot stand still when this melody sounds. All my bones ask for dancing. So that is my favorite dance, really. All the wedding parties, I usually go and dance this dance that is very favorite.
Well, here's Ashik Yanvar, who's standing in front of me. Yanvar apparently means January. And this fantastic saz that you have, which has your name on it in Cyrillic, in Russian script, dated 1965.
The saz is the oldest musical instrument in Azerbaijan and has been upgraded over the centuries. I inscribed 1965 on my saz, as that's the year when I started playing it professionally. Before that, I was learning the art from a master, what we call an ustad.
And what kinds of things are you singing about?
In Azerbaijan, we have many love epics, which we usually perform at wedding parties and other events. We also have songs about national heroes and songs that are like proverbs. We have to remember many, many songs. In fact, the Ashik's brain is a bit like a computer.
Apart from telling wonderful stories, are you also making people laugh? You're an entertainer.
Yes, that's true. The point is, we sing funny songs in between the sad songs, so that people don't get too depressed.
So give me an example of something that would make me laugh.
Benim ustadım toydan gelirmiş.
This one is good. My master was coming home with his Balaban ensemble from a wedding party when he was held up by some bandits in the forest. The bandits told the musicians to drop their weapons, but the musicians said that they didn't have weapons. The chief bandit replied that the most dangerous weapons are their musical instruments. He said, "Take your weapons and perform something for us." There is a tradition that when an ashik performs, the audience have to give them money, and this is what the rebels had to do. The chief rebel then laughed about how powerful the musical instruments are. "We are the robbers. We are supposed to take your money, but through your music you have taken ours."
You're listening to World Roots on the BBC with me, Lucy Duran. There's more from Azerbaijan after this.
BBC.
On the TV are pictures of riots on London streets.
More than 100 people were arrested after officers were attacked, cars damaged, shops raided.
On the radio, they're discussing why the bankers aren't being held to account.
The city has got madly speculative and completely out of control.
And newspaper editorials are all over the scandal-hit fortunes of a rival.
The paper's former editor faced what was described as a
lynch mob mentality.
Prime Minister David Cameron said, "Britain is broken." But if it is, who caused it? The BBC investigates. The British establishment. Who for? Online from the 18th of October at bbcworldservice.com.
Every week we tackle the issues and examine the big stories affecting the planet's most popular game. Sign up for the World Football Podcast at bbcworldservice.com and you won't miss a kick.
I'm Lucy Duran, and coming up in World Roots in a moment, I'll be continuing my journey around Azerbaijan. In today's programme, I'll be meeting some of that country's most successful female artists who rival the male ashiks. Plus, I'll be hearing a young singer with an exceptional voice who first made a big impression on us when he came in for a World Roots session at our London studio. But now, the news.
BBC News with David Austin. Protests against corporate greed and income disparity have been called in cities across the Asia-Pacific region in response to weeks of anti-Wall Street demonstrations in the United States. Several thousand people gathered in Auckland in New Zealand, and about 2,000 people protested in Sydney, Australia, in a movement inspired by the Occupy Wall Street protests in New York. There were smaller demonstrations in Taipei, Tokyo, and Manila. The security forces in the Yemeni capital Sana'a have opened fire on tens of thousands of protesters demanding President Saleh's resignation. Medical sources say at least six people have been killed and many more wounded. And in a separate development, the Yemeni Defense Ministry says a senior member of Al-Qaeda has been killed in air raids in the south of the country. The official said Ibrahim al-Banna, an Egyptian citizen who's been described as an influential Al-Qaeda ideologue, was killed. Kenya says its military is ready to cross the border into Somalia in pursuit of kidnappers who've seized foreigners. The Kenyan Internal Security Minister said the army would pursue members of the Somali Islamist group Al-Shabaab wherever they are. Human rights campaigners in Cuba are mourning the death of the leader of the influential protest group the Ladies in White, Laura Pouyan. Ms. Pouyan founded the group 8 years ago when her husband was jailed together with 74 fellow dissidents. Gunmen have shot dead three workers travelling to one of the world's largest copper and gold mines in Indonesia. Police said the miner's car was ambushed near the mine. Thousands of workers at the American-owned mine have been on strike for higher pay. France have beaten Wales to win a place in the final of the Rugby World Cup. France won the semi-final in New Zealand by 9-8. For most of the match, Wales were down to 14 men after their captain was sent off for a dangerous tackle. That's the BBC News.
I'm Lucy Duran and welcome back to World Roots from Azerbaijan. We're moving on now to the capital, Baku, to hear some of the country's leading women singers.
Hakim yarabalıyır, bir hakim yarabalıyır, bir hakim sinə dalıyır, ay bala bala bala ay bala bala. Bağban gördüm qanalıyır, bağban gördüm qanalıyır, ağlar qoynunda qoynunda.
Well, this really is quite a contrast with the Ashik tradition of Shamahe. We're in an urban environment, we're in Baku, And secondly, because we're with two female ashiks, and they are Zulfia Ibadova and Gulara Zafli, both singing and playing the saz, which is this long neck lute with three pairs of wire strings. And we just heard a piece called Azafle Dubé Tissi, which I'm told is a poetic form composed by Azafle, who is in fact the father of one of the two singers with us. But first of all, to you, Zulfia, is it very common for women to be ashik?
Kadın aşıklar haradasa Azerbaycan'da.
There are between 40 and 50 female ashiks in Azerbaijan, as opposed to countless numbers of men. And of those 40 or 50 women, only about 10 are really well known. Don't forget that there have been female ashiks since the 16th century. And in 1984, an association for female ashiks was founded and named after a female ashik from the 18th century. One interesting difference between male and female ashiks is that we, the women, tend to perform more lively music. It's more appealing to listeners when female ashiks perform lively songs. They love the combination of the beautiful female performer and the beautiful music.
I must say, I really love seeing women on stage playing musical instruments, not just singing. That's great. I really enjoy that. That lovely brand new car that you're driving, you've been able to buy that from your earnings as a musician?
Well,
I'm obviously in the wrong profession here.
Bear in mind, though, that not every ashik has such a lovely car. Ashiks are in great demand in Azerbaijan, but I make my money by performing other sorts of music. If you only perform ashik music, you probably wouldn't have such a car.
Gulara, your family name is Azafli. Do you have an ashik tradition in your family?
Yes, my father, Mikhail Azafli, was one of the most famous ashiks of the 20th century. He was also a poet and a composer. Azafli, our family name, is also the name of the village where we come from here in Azerbaijan.
We've been hearing about how the ashik tradition is really a tradition of the countryside, but we're in Baku. So is there any difference between the two traditions, countryside and city ashik?
Ashiks in the countryside tend to stick to the traditional ashik art more strictly. In the cities, the ashiks are more versatile and perform more modern music. Most young people nowadays can't understand the old ashik music. So as musicians, we've tried to develop so that it is more accessible for them.
Gulara, I'd love to know what you're singing about. Could you do another song for us and tell us what the words of the song are?
We're going to perform Bash Muhammas, which is a piece usually performed at the end of the wedding. Oh, my happy world, you've had many different guises over the centuries, but you haven't grown old. From the day you were created, O world, you've been home to every human being. You've never bowed to any Han or Sultan, O world, but Satan is hidden inside your heart. Time is running out. No matter where we are, we could talk 100 times. Let's speak the truth now. Let's talk about how many hearts you've broken, O world, and how many tears you've shed. You may be angry with me, it's up to you, but you will always remain a mystery to me, O world. İster məni qına dünya, ister məni qına dünya.
Şahar başlayıp sen, ne
Modern wedding in Baku, Azeri style. And what we just listened to was the very moment when the happy couple signed the register in front of friends and family, all sat around tables groaning with food and drink. And then the couple went to sit on white thrones at the top table, and an extremely over-amplified band kicked in, so loud that it was impossible to talk. So we've retired to the office of the director of this establishment, which is dedicated to weddings. So this place is just for weddings?
Yes, this place is called House of Joy or House of Happiness.
So our director, the director whose office we're sitting in, just has weddings here every day.
Yes, but not during Ramadan month and Muharram month, which is morning month, but all other seasons are seasons of weddings.
Well, the reason why we've come here is because there's a singer who I happened to hear on a DVD, in fact, a woman singer, Kenul Khasieva. And I was very impressed with her vocal style, but she's also singing in a kind of modern style.
Yes, because wedding parties are getting more and more sort of kitsch. So that is why many of serious musicians don't like wedding parties, because first of all, it is over-amplified. It is too loud. We cannot speak each other at the wedding parties. It's only for dancing and having food. But our old wedding parties in the 19th century were the place where the serious musicians could demonstrate their art. That was the sort of public concerts, and nobody ate during the music. But now that is sort of cage for dancing and for having as much food as your stomach can.
Or more, it looks to me like.
Yes.
More than you can, can bear. So the weddings are one of the most important ways in which musicians can make a living here?
Yes, there are some singers. They come only for 15 minutes, for 20 minutes, or maximum for half an hour and get, for instance, $10,000.
That's impressive.
Really?
başımda başka yoktur dürüşe var benim meydana
Extraordinary voice of Könül Hasiyeva singing live at a lavish wedding party in Baku. The happy couple let us sneak in and plug into the rather hot PA system. She was singing Mugam Sega there, with an accompaniment provided on electric guitar, not a traditional tar in sight. Well, this program started with the eerie sound of the nodding donkeys on an oil field just outside Baku. And certainly in and around Baku and on the Caspian coast, it's hard to get away from the oil and gas business. And it's big business. Azerbaijan will soon be producing nearly 1 million barrels of oil a day from on and offshore plants. Even at the beginning of the 20th century, the Azeris were producing half the world's oil supply. These days, two major pipelines carry the oil north and west. One American expat I met told me that the pipelines are guarded by teams of Azeri horsemen to keep the environmental impact to a minimum. But that hasn't always been the case. Not far from Baku is the city of Sumkayıt, a grim reminder of the Soviet petrochemical industry. My American friend told me that when the USSR collapsed, they literally turned the power off and walked away. Today, rusting cooling towers, tangled pylons, and crumbling concrete buildings are virtually all that remain, along with an infamous baby cemetery, victims of decades of pollution and industrial negligence. It's a truly apocalyptic landscape. We drove out to one of the old plants at Sumkayıt, but were told, for health and safety reasons, to move on. So off we headed to our final appointment in a venue on one of downtown Baku's busiest avenues. And the reason why we're here is because this is where Baku's Jazz Center is located. And we've come to this very modern building, the Jazz Center, because we're going to be hearing the singer who in fact is the reason why we've come to Azerbaijan. In February 2007, this singer came into the World Roots studio in London, in Broadcasting House, and did such an amazing session that when he finished, I said, World Roots has got to come to Azerbaijan. And I'm very excited that this is the last bit of music that we're going to be hearing in the programs. Sanubar, the name of our singer is Gülçak Askarov.
Do you remember him?
I certainly have a very vivid memory, especially of that incredible trilling, the yodeling that he does, and his very high voice. Yes. And he's so young.
Yes, he's only 28.
Where is he from?
He is from Karabakh. You know, this area is very famous for traditional singers because they have very nice, soft voice, high-pitched, which is considered as the best kind of voices in Azerbaijani national tradition. And his voice is typical Karabakh voice, very soft and at the same time very thrilling. So that is why I like
it. Spectacular, as I remember it.
Yeah,
his singing,
and he's
really
very talented,
spectacular.
He's a talented guy.
Well, it's been an extraordinary 2 weeks of just the most amazing music here in Azerbaijan, going around the country and hearing so many great voices and so many superb musicians. And big thanks, çok sağ ol, Sanubar, for introducing us to this wonderful music. And this now is the voice that brought us here to Azerbaijan. This is Gülçak Askarov. This month's World Roots was presented by me, Lucy Duran, and it was produced by James Parkin for the BBC.